So if you'll turn in your Bibles and stand with me. For those of you who are guests, I hope that you feel welcome. We're glad that you're with us today. We are studying through the Gospel of John on our Sunday morning time. Sunday school, we're going through the book of Ecclesiastes. Sunday morning, the Gospel of John. Sunday night, we're going through the book of Acts. And so we'll look forward to that tonight. And then on Wednesday nights, we're going through the Old Testament prophet Hosea. And so tonight, or rather this morning, we find ourselves in John, did I say 5? I meant 14. I apologize. I'm in Ecclesiastes 5, but we're in John chapter 14 this morning. Our text begins in verse number 15, and I'll read from there to verse number 18. The Bible says in verse 15 of John 14, "If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." Let's read verse number 18 altogether. Ready? "I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." This morning we're going to be talking about knowing that you know. And it might just feel like what we're talking about is salvation, but God wants us to have confidence this morning. And we're going to talk about confidence. So let's pray. Father, I pray your blessings on the message. We confess that without you we can do nothing. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. So therefore with you, all things are possible. In the faith of the grain of a mustard seed, mountains can be moved. And Lord, there are some here this morning facing health needs and struggles emotionally, both physically, emotionally, just needing you this morning. And so we confess that what we need is for you to move mountains today in our soul. So I pray that you'd do that. For those who need to be saved, God, would you bring conviction and touch their heart to bring that confidence of their need of salvation and courage to come and get it settled before it's too late. Lord, for those who just need to be encouraged, pray that you'd do so in our hearts. Without you, Lord, as we said, we can do nothing. So we pray for your help in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. When you know that you know something, it means you're confident. Amen. Like when you're confident in your football team. Amen. You know that you know that they're going to be good this year. And it's easy for everybody to say that before any games have really played yet. The boys, I said in Sunday school this morning, I'll reference again, the boys have been playing soccer, and so they've been loving that. Last night we're having family devotions, and in the middle of the family devotions, or they're close to the end, we're sharing blessings, and the boys are, I think a few of the boys were referencing their blessings as being soccer. And then I asked this question. I said, "Hey guys, of the four of you, who's the best soccer player?" And then it just erupted into this four-way argument. And I was loving it. I mean, I want to hear why each one of them thinks they're the better soccer player, you know. Or why, you know, I think some of them were admitting that they're the worst soccer player. But anyway, so it was fun to hear that. After a few minutes of that arguing back and forth, Melissa looked at me. She's tired at the end of the day anyway, but a little bit cranky. But anyway, so she looks over at me. I'm just going to look this way. She looks over at me and she says, "Did you really have to ask that question?" You know, like now we have this argument going on. Listen, God wants us to have a real kind of confidence. Not a kind of confidence where we build ourselves up or advance ourselves or promote ourselves. God wants us to have a confidence in Him, and He wants to instill that kind of confidence in His disciples. And it's not a condition. He doesn't want them to place their faith in some sort of a condition that they need to meet or to have some sort of a routine or a process that needs to be in place. God wants them to have indicators in their life so that they can see these clear indicators and with that have confidence. Well, what do you mean, Pastor? Well, let's look at verse 15 and you'll see. He said, "If you love me," then he said this, "keep my commandments." So when Jesus said the word if, he was not giving an if-then condition, saying that if you want to have a love relationship with me, then you need to live in obedience to me. He wasn't saying that. He wasn't saying that if you want to have a relationship with me, then you need to keep my commandments. It's not a condition to become a true follower of God. What he was saying here and pointing out is that there's a connection between your love for Christ and your obedience to Christ. Obedience would not make you a follower of God or make you a child of God. However, a desire for obedience is an indicator that you are a true follower of God. And so it's a byproduct. It comes along with your relationship with God, that you have a desire to obey Him. That's what he's saying. Have you ever heard this phrase, to know that you know? That's what God wants us to have. I want you to go to 1 John, but I need you to keep your finger or the bulletin or a ribbon or something here in John 14. Go to 1 John chapter 2. I don't often have us turn to places, but I really want you to see this. 1 John chapter 2. I'm going to start reading in verse number 1. 1 John, it's close to the back of the Bible. Chapter 2, verse 1. Are you there? Say amen.
Amen.
Okay, let me start reading. The Bible says this, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He is the propitiation of our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." Now verse number 3. "And hereby we do know that we know Him." Do you know what that phrase right there means? It means what he's about to say is an indicator of how you and I, God's children, can know that we know Him. Well, what is it? That if we keep His commandments. So God wanted His disciples to know with confidence that they were His, and their desire for obedience would be a way of them knowing that they know Him. According to what John is saying in John 14 and what he is declaring in his epistle in 1 John chapter 2. Now you can go back to the Gospel of John. Verse 15, he said this, "If you love me, keep my commandments." So he wanted them to have that confidence that they know him, that they have a relationship with him, a love relationship with him, and the indicator would be their obedience. Why would the disciples need this discernment? You don't have to answer that. But let me say that the attack of Satan is a real attack in the hearts of people that are followers of God, in his desire to bring doubt. Ephesians 6 says this, don't turn there, but Paul said this, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might." And then he said this, familiar phrase, "Put on the whole armor of God." Have you ever heard that? Why should we put on the armor of God, Paul? Because we need to be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, the evil darts of Satan that come against us to attack us, to bring doubt and discouragement into our life. It says this, "For we wrestle," Paul said this in Ephesians 6, "we wrestle not against flesh and blood." I think sometimes we forget that, and we engage in some sort of an earthly conflict, trying to understand why things are happening in life, when the real fight that we're facing isn't flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, the demon forces of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. In John 10, the Apostle John said this, "The thief cometh not," speaking of the devil, "but to steal, to kill, and to destroy." That's his mission. Corinthians, Paul said it like this, He said the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. The weapons of our warfare? Yes, he's referencing a spiritual conflict that we face as God's people. And the conflict that we face is with the evil one himself, our own flesh, yes, but the evil one himself. And the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, he said, to the pulling down of strongholds. Do you know what a stronghold is in that context? The stronghold is a wrong idea about what is true. And we've at times embraced things that aren't true. And it becomes a stronghold in our life, keeping us from embracing what is true. And so the weapons of our warfare to pull down those intellectual strongholds and spiritual strongholds in our life are mighty through God, to the casting down of imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity, guess what? Every thought to the obedience of Christ. Do you know where your battle really is? It's in your mind. The devil fights you in your mind, in your heart. Discouragement, the seed of discouragement is in our heart, in our thinking. And the devil fights us. He fights hard. He's hard at work attacking in the minds of people, wanting them to live in doubt. Listen, doubt brings us down. Doubt destroys our confidence. It removes peace. It replaces peace with anxiety and discouragement. And that's what Satan wants in us. But Jesus wants us to have the opposite of that. In the midst of those trials, God wants us to have confidence. In the midst of the discouragement and the anxieties, God wants us to have the tools to be able to stand firm and strong in confidence in Him. So look at verse 16 of our text in the Gospel of John. It says in verse 16, I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another, what's that next word? Comforter. That He may abide with you forever. And then He says, the Comforter is the Spirit of truth, the Holy Ghost, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him. But ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. He said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. The Comforter here, you study this word out, it's a technical term, and it's often used in a courtroom setting, referring to a legal defense counsel. That's what Comforter means. A legal defense, like a legal assistant, standing with God's people or standing with us, with somebody in the midst of a legal indictment. So it's like an advocate, a legal assistant or a helper in court, a representative, a witness on our behalf. Jesus wanted His disciples to know that He would be with them and He would be in them, standing in their defense when the attacks and the legal indictment and the accusations would be brought against them, that He would be their comforter. He would be their witness. He would be their advocate. He would stand in their place. Do you know what the devil seeks to do, friends? He seeks to accuse us before God. He seeks to discourage us. And he fights against us, as the scripture says, day and night in Revelation 12. Don't turn there, but in verse 10, it says this, I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ. For the accuser, speaking of the devil, of our brethren is cast down. Which accused them before God day and night. So the devil spends our lifetime looking for ways to discourage you. He looks for ways to bring you down, to make you low, to bring depression and discouragement, to accuse you before God, to bring an indictment against you towards God, to condemn you. It's like when the devil brings up your past. It's like when you're trying to press on and to move on, but these thoughts keep coming back to you. The devil wants you to feel like you're not qualified, The devil wants you to feel that you're in the midst of a people that you don't deserve to be in the midst of. The devil wants you to feel that at church you're out of place. He wants to accuse you and remind you of what you used to be, or what you've done, or what you did yesterday, or the thoughts that you have had. He wants you to have the feeling that you don't want to do this anymore. He wants you to stop. He tells you you need to stop pretending. He says you're nothing and you don't deserve this. But Jesus comes on the scene. And Jesus says, I will not leave you comfortless. That's what Jesus said. Jesus stands in our place. And when we hear those attacks and we have those darts being flung at us, He wants us to remember that He's standing with us. He stands as our witness. He stands as our legal representative. He says, you're redeemed. He says, you've been set free. He says, you've been forgiven. When the devil brings up your sins, God, in your place, says, what sins? The things that the devil wants to use and the things that are cast into our minds, causing us to be low and discouraged and not to feel qualified and not to feel that we're in a good place and to not want to move forward, but to say something in ourselves like, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I want to do this. I don't know if I deserve this. I'm not the right person for this. And Jesus says, I want you to remember this. I've cast your sins as far as the east is from the west. Your sins are buried in the depths of the sea, not to be remembered. He reminds us of this great truth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me, those are the people who get saved. He said this then, hath everlasting life. Do you know what that means? It means you have everlasting life. The word hath, we don't use that word anymore in our today language, but it's not a complicated word to understand. The word hath simply means you possess it at this moment. It means you don't have to wait until you die to have it. It means you have it right now. So God reminds us that you have in your possession everlasting life. But he didn't stop there. He said, shall not come into condemnation. Do you know what condemnation is? It's that thing that happens to people who don't have Jesus. And by the way, you don't have to wait until you die to know that you're condemned if you're lost. The Bible says that we're condemned already because of our sins. He in fact said that we love darkness rather than light. It's in us. And so what we need is the conviction of the Holy Spirit to draw us to Him, to speak to us and to convict us of our sins. And when we turn our hearts to Him in salvation, He says, you are given everlasting life. You have it in your possession now. But He says, you shall not come into condemnation. That means you're not going to go to hell. It means you won't be condemned. The devil brings accusations. The devil brings condemnation in you. He wants you to dwell in these things in your mind so that he can discourage you. But Jesus stands in your place and he reminds you and he reminds the devil that you are freed. You are redeemed. You shall not be condemned. I love that. The last part of the part in Revelation 12, don't turn there, but it says, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before God day and night. Then it says this, and they, you and I, overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. And by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. So the accuser of the brethren comes and he accuses man day and night. But God says, you're redeemed. The woman being caught in adultery was brought before Jesus. And those accusers would have liked to see that she was condemned and judged on the spot. According to Jewish law, it would have been a qualification. Her sin would have been a qualification to be stoned. And so they would have hoped that Jesus, being the master and the prophet, would have condemned her on the spot. But Jesus looked at those accusers and he said, "You that are without sin, you cast the first stone." And those accusers then one at a time began to walk away and leave the scene. So that the only one who's left standing there is Jesus and the woman. And Jesus asked her this question: "Where is thine accusers?" Where are those who condemned you? Then he said this: "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." The word accusers in that text is the same word used to describe the devil. And so the accusation comes to the woman of a desire of these accusers to bring condemnation. And Jesus stands in her place as her advocate, her legal assistant, just like he stands in our place as our advocate and our legal assistant. He's our comforter. He's our encourager. He helps us when the accusations come our way. He's our representative, our witness. He asks, "Where are your accusers? Is there anyone to condemn you? Neither do I condemn you." So he declares us innocent. He declares us redeemed. He says, "Your debt has been paid." He said, "It's finished." He wants his disciples to be encouraged and strengthened and comforted. God wants you and I to have that this morning. He wants us to have a confidence that in Him we're redeemed, to know that I know. And the devil wants to discourage you. He wants you to feel low. He wants you to want to quit. He wants you to feel out of place. And the accuser of the brethren comes to us, and God stands in our place as our advocate, reminding the accuser that we're His children and we're redeemed and we're freed. I think this morning God wants us to be encouraged. I think He wants us to remember this morning that we'll face the trials and the temptations in this life. And He wants us to remember that He's paid our debt for us. And He stands in our place as our comforter. We need this encouragement. We talked about discouragement in Sunday school this morning. And when at times we lose our eternal perspective, then discouragement comes as a byproduct of living life without God as your focus. And when we're discouraged, then we don't want to press on. We don't want to move forward. We just want to step aside. God wants to strengthen us this morning with confidence. He wants us to know that we know. So He said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." What's that mean? Pastor, do I need to decide that I'll love God? Or show God that I love Him by keeping His commandments? No, no, no. Think about it like this. Your desire to obey God is a reflection on the love that you have for Him. It's an indicator. If you don't have a desire, then that's where the problem is. There's no desire. It's not in there, Pastor. Then what we need is God to bring conviction to us. What we need is for the Holy Spirit to bring His touch into us, to convince us that we need Him, that we need to turn our heart to Him. And if that's you this morning, He's not going to make you turn your heart to Him. He's going to bring conviction to you. He's going to compel you. He's going to convince you. And you can argue with the Lord, but you won't win the argument because the conviction is deep in your soul. You can tell yourself, well, I don't know if I believe that this is true, but down in the depths of your soul, you know it's true. Why, Pastor? Because it's written on the table of your heart. And God, through His Word, begins to prick you and to speak to you. And as He does that conviction in your heart, He's compelling you to come to Him in salvation. And so it might be this morning that you're in a losing battle because you don't have the Comforter. And you don't have the Advocate to stand in your place. When the Accuser comes, and he accuses you of your sinfulness. If you don't have salvation, then you don't have the Savior to stand as your witness against the accuser to bring confidence in your soul. And so what you need to do is what only you can decide to do. Nobody in here can do it for you. You have to let yourself be convinced and humble yourself to come to Him. He said, "Come unto me, ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest." He's talking about salvation. And if you're going to be saved, you have to come to Him. If you're going to come to Him, you have to let Him convince you that you need to be saved. And the Bible then says that the Spirit of God then comes to dwell in you. So that God, His Spirit, is with us this morning. But what He desires to do in salvation is to dwell in you. So that when the devil comes around and he said, "Hey, you remember what you did last week? Remember that sin you did? Remember whenever, you know, you went online and you were looking at some of that stuff you were looking at online? How can you do that and be a Christian? Remember how you the conversations you've been having lately? Remember the things that you've been doing lately? The things you've been involved with? Remember the places you've been going? Remember the substances you've been allowing yourself to consume? And you say you're a follower of God, the devil comes against us with his accusations. His desire is to not just discourage you, but to bring a level of doubt in you so that it hinders you and causes you to feel that you're not qualified to be here. But you need to remember something, that the devil has no authority in your life. He claims to be a legal representative of an accuser against you, but he has no authority because you are redeemed. You are freed. And Jesus stands in your place. So when the devil comes and he stands to condemn you, Jesus says, just step aside. I'll handle this for you. And he stands in your place. And he says, "You can't have this one. He's mine." He has no authority over you. And in Christ, you're redeemed. So what God wants you to have this morning is confidence. Confidence for what, Pastor? To keep moving forward. God's not looking for perfect people. He's just looking for faithful people. Just keep going. Ask God this morning. We might need to establish a closeness to Him again because of things in our life. But the devil has no authority over you. Why? Because Jesus promised that He would not leave us comfortless. He promised that He would stand in our place. And so we overcome the devil and his accusations through the blood of the Lamb. And so this morning, be encouraged. See, Pastor, I've really been struggling. And we need to seek the Lord and we need to get our hearts right with Him. If you need to be saved this morning, you need to take courage and come and get it settled. But don't let the devil get into your mind to make you think that you're not qualified to be here or to move forward in your walk with God, because he is a liar and he has no authority to say that. In Christ, you're redeemed. Father, this morning,